return from lunch, they will find us along the province that is going to make an input is the Eastern Cape. That the Mapulo, over to you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Once again, my name is Cenile Mapulo. As I indicated earlier on, that I am 2 months in the office, and I've been welcome into the work, the good work that we are going to report on right now. Yes, we'll skip the table of contents. The background is important in that we have to indicate the vastness of the area we are operating in, and being ranked as the third in the Republic of South Africa in terms of its size and population, and that it is predominantly rural, characterized by farming, mountainous areas, administrative and traditional authorities with whom we are predominantly working. It is with the legacy of the Bantustan in it. It has actually been rendered, you know, to have an increased demand for citizen registration following the kind of controversial registration systems that have been there before. The capital remains Bisho, and you have the Buffalo City Metro, formerly East London, and the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, which are the two hubs of the province, with two industrial development zones, being East London and Buga, where multinational motor companies, Daimler Chrysler in East London, VW, Volkswagen, GM, and Ford in the Nelson Mandela Metro. And for this reason, a greater number, a volume of permitting in these areas is very common. And also due to the history, the rich history and heritage, you know, of the people of the province, this area is a tourist destination and has a potential of employing a great number of people within this sector. The majority of the people speak Xhosa, followed by Afrikaans, English, and Sesotho. Those areas around the Alfred Nzo and Jobabi district municipalities, which are bordering with Lesotho. The Karoo interior is an important sheep farming area, and the challenge being the industry exploits Lesotho citizens for cheap sheep sharing. The inspectorate component is closely monitoring this, and the corporate permits provided. The road infrastructure in the province is not too good, very rugged, and would lead to high rate of repairs to our mobile trucks that are overwhelmed by the gravel roads that they have to travel in order to bring services closer to the people. And in addition, it poses a great challenge to our offices, because some of the villages have insurmountable barriers like the mountains and rivers, where they have to walk on foot in order to render services. Although great strides have been in the delivery of services during the National Population Registration Campaign between March and November 2010, there are still significant backlogs that need to be addressed in providing enabling documents to the citizens. The launching of stakeholder forum on the district and local municipalities have greatly improved the way of delivering services, especially at rural areas. Monitoring and evaluation of the departmental performance relating to DHA is at the center of service delivery improvement Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, as we have, as I've indicated, that the province is doing very well, but there are some areas where we need to strengthen in order to realize the dream of the department. You see that in areas where you have the provincial coordinators complaining about the lack of delivery, slow process of getting the statistic that is required for monitoring and evaluation. The next slide, it refers to the performance agreement in terms of national outcomes, of course, the three of them. We can move on to the next one, being the departmental strategic oriented goals. And I think as we know them, Honorable Chair, we move to the next slide of the current footprint for the department. With local office large, the former regional office having 6, the local office average, the former district office having 24, the local office small, the former PSP having 24, the refugee reception center, the only one that we have in the province, which is not fully operational, dealing with only extensions and adjudications, as we know that we are in the process of closing the office. Of course, it is closed, but we just want to complete the work that must that attends the closure. Ports of entries, we have 6. Tusong service centers, we have 3. 2 disc offices operating from Tusong Center, being Tofim Vaba and Dexprayt. Here we have the provincial management and demarcation in terms of the new operating model. At the top, of course, you have myself, and then Dr. Johannes next to me. Then below you would have the Alfred Nzo District Municipality District Manager Operation, which is vacant. Next to it is the Joe Gabi District DMO, which is also vacant. And then next to it you will have O.R. Tambo District DMO, which is currently occupied by Mr. Mnunu. Mr. Mnunu, as a DMO, is taking care of these other ones which are vacant. That is Alfred Nzo, Joe Gabi. So in his fold, he has 3 districts. Excuse me. You have Chris Ani, DMO, whose post is currently advertised. You would have Amatole District DMO advertised. In terms of that one, the DMO has unfortunately passed away sometime last year, and so that's the reason why it remains vacant. And of course, the post has already been advertised. And you have Buffalo City Metro DMO, which is vacant. Now the DMO went passed on. Has been involved, has taken care of the three DMOs, that is Christiani, Amatole, and Buffalo City. Currently, we do have somebody who is acting as the posts have been advertised. Fakwa Du, my predecessor, Ms. Luthu, is the one who is taking care. You have Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, which is vacant. Ms. Lusu is taking care of that metro. Now, you in each office, we are indicating the number of offices that we have in each DMO. Some will have a port of entry or a port of entry, and we have the metro, the Nelson Mandela Metro, with the refugees reception office that we have closed. Finalizing, you know, the work that attends the closure. With the map, we're just showing the spatial distribution of the metros and the municipalities in which we are operating. The next slide will indicate those 2 metros and the 6 districts that we have in the province with the strength in terms of the population that they have. The next one will, in essence, indicate those two metros, six district municipalities, and the 37 local municipalities. And they will be listed, all those local municipalities, the 37 that we have. But the point is here, Honorable Chair, we're saying the department has 10 operational, the two metros have 10 operational offices and four ports of entry. And the department is presenting itself in 29 LMs of the 37. That in eight, the remaining eight, we're not present at all. And we've listed them, the Great Kai, Inqoba, Ikwezi, Bavyan, Sundays, River Valley, Kokama, Nkwanta, and Tsolwana. In Inqoba, the department is part of the plans for the Chusong Center at Adelaide, but the process has not yet been finalized by the provincial government. Excuse me. Then we have, we are indicating the metros and the locations where we are found, and just adding with the Buffalo City and Nelson Mandela that we are intending to have at Tinjoli Boysen's Park an office in due course. Whilst in Buffalo City, there will be offices in Dangan Village, Zwelyandila, Mdanzane Tusong, King Williamstown Tusong. Then, Chair, we also indicating the district of Afenzo, its local municipalities, and the locations where we are found. Further on, Joe Gabi as the district, local municipalities, and the locations where we are found. Further on with O.R. Tambo, local municipalities, and the locations where we are found. With Chris Dani, we want also to kindly indicate that we are not found at all at Tsolwana and in Gwanza. And as we had indicated, there are plans which are afoot to get offices in these areas. But of course, in the meantime, we're using the mobile trucks to service them. With Tsolwana, we will have the office in Tagastad. With Amatole District Municipality, we're also showing the same, the localities where we are found and the local municipalities. Of course, at Grekai and Inqoba, we're not found there at all. But of course, we're indicating that there's the finalization of a Chusong Center in Adelaide by the provincial government, while opening of office in Komga, of course, supposed to be Kumga. It's one of those names that were corrupted. Great Kai, local municipality, will be prioritized in the next financial year. Chakadu, we indicating as well where we are not found in four areas. We indicating that at least Sandys River will have office in Paterson, and however, it has not been prioritized in the financial year. The areas where DHA is not present are serviced by mobile offices like the others. The staff profile, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, right at the top, I think we're doing relatively well because we are led by two women who are seated next to me, and we hope with the advertised post we will apply our minds if the situation allows us to continue to, you know, to increase the number of females at that level. Of course, as you go down, it is the same situation you always complain about. You will have females right at the bottom. So even there, we promise we will apply our mind as we continue with the issue of strengthening our establishment. We also want to indicate that within that strength of the establishment, we have eight personalities of disability, four males and four females. And we'll continue to strive to have more in future as we are required. The total post-establishment, we have 863. The field posts, we have 824. 39 being advertised. These posts that have been advertised and shortlisted is the director, that is the DMO, Director Manager Operations, the DD, that is the Director, Deputy Director, Provincial Coordination, Deputy Director, Human Resources, Control Security Officer, Senior State Accountant, Senior Personnel Practitioner, Chief Administration Clerk, well, of course, for Portal Fred, Senior Secretary and Secretary, all of these being in the provincial office. The appointment letter for mobile office operator is also in progress. In terms of the budget, as you may see, Honorable Members, Honorable Chair, that the expenditure in respect of compensation of employees, we are at a lower end. The reason being that the posts that have been advertised and the others that are yet to be advertised. With goods and services, we much more on a very lower one, in that in terms of the commitment of the department to decentralize all the procurement processes to provinces in the mandate of the provincial manager, processes to undertake to do that took some time, I think around May, and there will also be issues of capacitating such offices or sections in the province so that you would have personnel that will undertake to do that. So it held the processes of procurement for a while. So I think now that we have capacitated, you know, such sections, then we'll be seen now to be moving in the required direction. Hence, you see the total expenditure as well has been affected, you know, by such issues. Then the National Population Registration Campaign has afforded us an opportunity of clicking some kind of relationships that will escalate into signing of memorandums, the MOUs. The DHA SASA, we'd had a collaboration with SASA through the one of the active stakeholder forums in the area of Emambondwe, Lusikisiki, Inguza Hill Stakeholder Forum, where we started a very strong collaboration with some quick wins, where I can mention but a few, that we, health is involved as well, the what do you call the, this card, health, the road to health card is giving problems to the enabling documents application, where we managed to establish a maternity certificate that is now about to be adopted by the province, so as to avert the problems that we are facing regarding that card. We had also the MOU, we've been told it is waiting the indulgence of both departments, and I think in the short run we shall have to engage our senior management to expedite the signing of that MOU. The funeral parlors are a problem as well around our enabling documents. The corruption and fraud around there, and we're having regular meetings with them, and we'll soon have an MOU. The COCC invited us to their business plan, a workshop on their business plan, where they established some committees on anti-corruption on the border environment. The traditional affairs, the Eastern Cape local government and traditional affairs, having seen our full involvement and engagement with the traditional leaders, have come closer to us and sought to have a collaboration with us as we work with the traditional leaders on all the issues that relate to home affairs. The status of stakeholder forums, Eastern Cape has launched 45 stakeholder forums in terms of the full complement of the province, two metros, two metropolitan municipality forums, six district municipality forums, and 37 local municipality forums, as we had indicated, the strength of the district in terms of municipalities, the province in terms of the municipalities. All forums have been launched except the provincial forum. The view in the province, of course, even throughout the country, that the work of the districts and the local forums must escalate to a provincial forum where critical issues of intergovernmental relations may be raised at that level. I think there are a few glitches that are not allowing us. Maybe I will explain later in the forthcoming slides. From the 45 existing forums, as of June, 8, that is Tatadu, Krisani district, and the following local municipalities, Ngqushu, Ntabankulu, Blue Crane, Bavians, Ikwezi, and Imbashe, those ones need to be revived. Already, preliminary meetings for revival were held, Umbashe, for instance, on the 7th May in Ellodale, while for Ikwezi, the meeting was held in Hansenville on the 4th of June. The Honorable Chair, the critical stakeholders, we want to indicate the critical stakeholders that are perpetrating fraud and corruption around the enabling documents of Home Affairs. All those people, they do sign to confirm and will confirm non-citizens to be people who are eligible for our documents and they're causing problems of security. The councillors, traditional leaders, ministers of religion, health through that card, road to a health card, the funeral parlors, education through the principals, social development in terms of SASA. The Transitional Affairs Partnership, as I indicated earlier on, the Traditional Affairs Eastern Cape Local Government had shown interest in partnering with us, as they have seen the effective way we have worked with the traditional leaders. Their problem is that they are required to account on the work of the traditional leaders as they are incorporated into the municipalities. Now, the problem they have, they claim that it's very difficult. They can't have a measure of assessing their work. So they've approached us to facilitate and create a framework of cooperation. To date, we have had 5 joint meetings that have been held, and the pilot project plan is being refined. The proposed pilot launch date is August this year. And the pilot is reckoned that it may take about 4 months. The pilot target is the traditional councils and their communities. The benefits being to access to approximately 1,400 traditional leaders, and I think it will help us as Home Affairs, and also the improved credibility of data and verification of the traditional leaders. In another initiative where, again, social development has identified the smooth way we have worked in Lusikisiki, the same, the most active stakeholder forum in Lusikisiki, the one I call the Ngqoza Hill, where we had conducted a door-to-door visits to establish if there are indeed other people who have not yet been documented. And I think, Honorable Chair, we had quick wins there as well. I remember just one, we encountered a family of 35 occupants under one roof with 22 children with no enabling documents. And we had to bring all these other departments to come and assist, and all of them have been, afforded the opportunity. Then the other one, very classic, As the CDWs are moving on, they encountered a community, one village, where all their children in the village, that they start schooling at the age of 15, because there hasn't been an access road, and also the insurmountable mountains and the rivers. But of course, we've been shown that there is now an access road. We referred that matter to the minister, and the minister at the time, while I was in the ministry, then it was referred to the premier. I think we remain to check. We referred it to the premier, but I will be talking about an initiative with the MEC of Education where we referred the matter to him, and I think we remain to check if something has been done. Those quick wins, Social Development also came forward to partner with us, where they have this idea of profiling of households, but in a big way, where they will avail their community development practitioners that they have within the communities and their assistance to assist in the project, where they do have a generic profiling tool which is already in place, and Home Affairs will remain to simply integrate and incorporate our own requirements as the department. Social Development is willing to grant Home Affairs an access to its system, which is called NISIS, in order to draw reports for analysis. Now, the benefits out of that, of course, is already existing IT infrastructure, which would be cost-saving for us as Home Affairs and Social Development, that the tool will ensure that resources are focused where they are indeed needed, and also would cover a wider area in a short space of time due to more resources. As I indicated, they have their own practitioners and assistants, whilst Home Affairs is being supported by the CDWs. The other initiative is the one of the Premier. The Premier's office is organizing a central data warehouse where all the departments are required to bring their strategic documents and information, so that whenever is required, the Premier's office is able to project, the needs of the province, and also to know exactly the progress that is being made by the government in general. A task team from Gauteng and Free State, I think it has been reported they came to present the solution in a meeting that was held in East London. Of course, the benefit being the accessibility of data and improvement in decision-making ability. Issues to follow on is the one I'd referred to. We were approached as well through our networking in the khutlas of the province that we had attended. MEC is troubled by the siphoning of the budget of the education department by the principals who are providing, what's the word, escalating numbers which are fraudulent. And so he came to us to request that we partner with him so that through the documents that are being used to confirm such fraudulent confirmations, that we be part so that we can engage. So I think because of the problems that has been there, especially around the superintendent general, who has now since gone, at least we were thinking that we should approach that somebody who's acting now, we should go and approach the MEC for this invitation. The Chief Ecumenical Officer, currently we thought of the South African Council of Churches in order to approach the issue of the problem that comes as a result of the confirmation of non-citizens by the religious leaders. Health as well, we need to have contact in order to raise, in particular, the issues of non-attendance to the stakeholder forums. Birth registration within 30 days In April, that was the number. May, June, and the total being 17,689. Eastern Cape Provincial Stakeholder Forum. I think we all over here. Our apologies, Chair. Then let me just go through it. It was supposed to be together with the other issues of stakeholder forums. All six district municipalities and metros, we of the view that they should be convened via their executive. The issue is about the provincial stakeholder forum that we are unable to launch. Now, the view is that what we should do currently, because the problem is with the provincial legislature, where sometimes we are met with a kind of an attitude that there are many of these forums, it will be difficult to manage them. So we thought that what we should do, put together all the executives, maybe two of all the 6 districts in the province, so that once you have that structure, you can now approach the provincial government with what you have, instead of lamenting with something we have not yet started already. So that slide, I think, is addressing that. Those are the challenges, the lack of consistency from critical stakeholders, as they are mentioned there. So now we're going back to statistics again. Sorry about that, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The late registration of birth, LRB, as of at 31st March 2012, we have that number 1,293. Number of LRB applications received around that time, April, June, 3,661. Number of applications approved, 3,969. Number of applications rejected, 30. Number of applications referred to IMS for investigations, 24, and then the total being 985. School project. We, as a province, we had within the quarter targeted number of schools to be visited, which was 502. The number of schools that were visited were below the target of the province, which is 202. I think the reason being, Honorable Chair, among others, that when we plan, we never considered the number of holidays that are there in the quarter, and hence we had to blow our original target as we had done. But of course, as we go, we hope to correct that. The number of applications collected in that process was 6,595. Number of ID handed over to matric, because we are prioritizing the matric students so that they can undergo the processes of that are required by the preparations for the exams. And we had 1,528. We move on to ID application statistics. Over the 3 months of the quarter, with the first issues, we had the total of 26,604. The reissues over the 3 months, we had 21,474. Here, Honorable Members and Chair, we at least detecting some improvement, because in the past, as you know, we used to have more reissues than the first issues. The total of all that being 48,078. Identity documents received from head office distributed to rightful owners during the period, we had that total on hand as of 31st March, 26,883. Then IDs received over those months being 63,360. Then IDs distributed over those months being 62,914. Now on hand as of 30 June, 27,329. From this figure, almost 10,000 is older than 3 months. Duplicate cases statistics. at 30 April, we had 250. Number of new duplicate cases received, April, June, was 767. Cases referred to head office for issuance of identity document, we have 156. Number of unfinalized cases, 861. Passport application, for those categories, we have those numbers, and we end up with a total of 5,370. Queries, the number of unfinalized queries carry over from previous months was 1,898. Number of new queries being 780. Number of finalized being 376. Number of unfinalized with such a huge number, 2,302. And the reason will be attributed to the incompleted application forms. And when you invite the applicants to come to the office, they would not budge, or the numbers that they'd written on the application forms are not accessible, and the addresses as well. Temporary residence visas, applications received and quality checked at front offices is that much. Applications sent to head office, the same. Temporary residence finalized within one day at front offices, the same. Rejection letters received, 112. And I think, honorable members, the reflection of such a streamlined kind of work is the effort of the permitting office trying to deal upfront, with the backlog that has been there. Permanent residence permits, you'd have almost the same picture. Applications received and quality checked at front offices, that number 201. Applications sent to head office, almost at the same, at least as quick as possible, 201. Permanent residence finalized within one day at front offices, 201. Immigration services, in terms of the land ports, Precious Neck and Telebridge, the arrivals, you would have, in terms of RSA, you would have the total of 10,451. The foreigners, through the same borders, 31,007. Departures, through the same borders, RSA, 12,880. Foreigners, 31,127. And the total, 85,465 in terms of the traveling. Excuse me. Immigration services, in terms of the seaports, you would have the ships, crew members in terms of arrival, East London Harbour, crew changes, stowaways, then the total is 1,668. Departed, in terms of ships, crew members, crew changes, stowaways, with none, and the total comes up to 1,580. Port Elizabeth Harbour, in terms of those items, ships, crew members, crew changes, stowaways, you have the total of 4,304. Those departed, you'd have the total of 3,921. Immigration services, in terms of port control airport, we have the arrivals. In terms of flights, crew members, crew changes, passengers, you have 134. Departed, you will have 64. Not that much of a busy port control. Immigration services, in terms of the refugee reception office, April to June, as we indicated earlier on, we're no longer taking any new applications because the office is closed. The figures that are there, it is the kind of work now that we are trying to expedite in order to make sure now that the work that is outstanding is done away with, the so-called backlog eradication. Of course, we now are trying to audit all the files that are there. With the amount of 45,000, and I think it's work in progress. So much work is done. I think we almost, with the audit, remaining with about 15,000 files. As we are trying to get our staff to rush up the work. Immigration Services inspectorate activities, April to June. Failed rejected asylum seekers handed over to an inspectorate for deportation, you have 225. Employers prosecuted, 7. Undocumented foreigners detected, 401. Deported within 30 days is 193. Cases referred to inspectorate for investigation, 720. Cases referred to inspectorate completed within 28 days is 382. The asset registers and asset management. The provincial asset register is only updated through the director of finance sitting next to me and support office. This ensures the relevant changes are effected and communicated to head office from a central point. Quarterly asset verifications are undertaken to ensure assets are efficiently and effectively accounted for. And that is done bi-monthly for the small offices. In-house asset management training has been conducted. There's only one region which is not yet covered to ensure all relevant role players are educated and kept up to date. Each office, my apology there, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, not region, each office has appointed asset controllers to ensure compliance with PFMA. Revenue management. The Alfred Zoa Tambo Joe Kabi has yielded that much, 2 million, Takladu, 3 million, and others, Christiani and others, 3 million, Kasha Snake, 41,000, Telebridge, 42,000. In all, you have 8 million, 8.5. Fleet management, and I think, Honorable Chair, we should not just move as if we are not airing already. We've gone beyond the 30 minutes, but our apologies. We'll try and, you know, fast track the presentation. Fleet management. The number of vehicles in the province are 127. Number of vehicles involved in accidents at 6. Number of mobile offices in all, there are 17. Now, again, Honorable Chair, the Director of Finance has been at head office assisting with asset registers and so on, and when she came along with us, we detected that the number of functional mobiles is 7, not 1, and the number of dysfunctional ones are 10. And also, kindly note that you may find that there may be less because of the conditions of the roads that we're talking about. You will be, one day you will remain with so many, and the next day with so few. Excuse me. Corruption prevention and prosecution. Closing balance of cases at 31st March, you have 100. We had 100. Number of new cases at end of June, it's 28. Arrests of 2 public members, we had 2. Hearings held at 30 June, we had 1 that was finalized, the total being 127. Corruption prevention and prosecution. LRB fraudulent Zimbabwean is awaiting an interpreter, so the case is pending. A Zimbabwean arrested for applying for LRB was deported, and an informant was charged 2,500. That's the case number. The Zimbabwean was deported. Sorry, yes. South African informant, of course, we've already indicated. Fraudulent birth registration, there's an an outcome of appeal confirming dismissal that was received during quarter, The official is in Bumbu. It was finalized and the other one was a dismissal. Fraud on LRB cases. There's outcomes of appeal for four officials in Mthatha confirming dismissals, and one official was suspended for 1 month without pay. The other one was finalized, the other one was confirmed as dismissal. The vetting. The number of security clearances issued confidential, in terms of confidential, secret, top secret, in all, there were 112. Pending security clearances in terms of confidential, secret, and top secret, 80 currently in progress with the state security agency. Security clearances denied, there were five of them, all secret. We've been informed that one has appealed, and for the rest, we are waiting what must happen on them for those who did not appeal. Number of security clearances forms issued, 267. Number of security clearance forms to be submitted to state security agency in terms of confidential, secret, top secret, you have 81 of them. Security services. Security services provided are provided by the Eastern Guard Security Services. The control security officer visits offices to undertake threat and risk assessments and brief employees on security measures. New offices are assessed for security standard compliance with before acceptance. There's a plan to put up tight security measures in place. Awareness, no formal awareness conducted to date, but the control security officer plans to undertake security awareness campaigns targeting not only new appointees but also existing employees. Three awareness, three conduction of awareness during induction training were presented. The security services in terms of cash in transit, revenue is collected by cash in transit called G4S in all offices except Kaiskamahoek, Dujwa, Namakwe, Stadarem, Zwelitsha, Telebridge, Kashasnek. Offices with high volumes of revenue collection bank daily, while others twice or three times a week. Although revenue is collected by G4S, there is a challenge of deposit books that are not brought back to the office in order to prepare for the next banking. Of course, the issue was addressed with service provider management and has promised to rectify the error. Labor relations cases. The ones that relate to dereliction of duty, non-compliance with DPSAs, you have one. And of that one, investigation has been finalized and case was referred to labor relations. Of the one that relates to abuse, misuse, and maladministration of a government vehicle, you have about five of them. And investigation finalized, case referred to labor relations. There's there are two for soliciting bribes. There's also one for maladministration. Arbitration on dismissal, there's also one. All of them together, there are 10. There are three cases of warnings. You have two suspensions for 1 month and final written warnings, while one was final written warning. Staff engagements. The province interact with staff through following meetings. The provincial management meetings are held monthly. I think we had one on Monday. The broad management meeting quarterly. District management meeting, local office managers and support monthly. Achievements. The filling of one local office manager, ASD level at Stexprate. 27 posts of chief administration clerks, heads of local offices, small and supervisors, And the improvement there has been offices and service delivery levels improved, and there was reduction in number of complaints. Outreach programs considered to be high impact outreach. For the quarter, the province had a target of 2 outreach programs and had, as at end of June, conducted 4, that is in Bizana, Mthatha, Kumbu, and Lusikisiki. This has ensured that South African citizens are issued with IDs. Labor relations cases, finalization of the long outstanding appeal cases, and performance of staff in terms of the improvement will improve and change. Achievements continued. The alteration or fabrication of Section 22 permits. Foreign nationals were arrested and convicted. There was the admission of guilt with the option of a fine and suspended sentence of three years not to be guilty of the same offense. Through this one, the message of conviction was spread within, in particular, Matatiele area on alterations on DHA enabling documents. Mobile office activities. Successful deployment to the 2012 Pelo Pepper project for 3 weeks. 30th April to the 18th of May 2012. On the 15th of June, we deployed trucks in the event organized by SAPS for students at Dan Clarker Stadium. On the 16th of June, 2 mobile offices were deployed at Wolfson Stadium in the national event organized by NYDA. Home Affairs participated at Beth Stop in the event organized by Helping Hands for the poor, and clients were served and required documents were issued to the client. Then challenges, share, and those are the last slide, 2 last slides. Our apologies. The stakeholder forums, the local forums, not sitting, meetings being postponed at last minute due to unavailability of members and other commitments. The district stakeholder forums will then visit local stakeholder forum for revival of these forums. Amendments and duplicate cases are the areas where we have a problem because they take too long to be resolved. And they have been referred, would be referred to nodal points at headquarters for intervention. Office accommodation as well, we're facing problems related to the sloppy and the delays that Public Works is notorious of. Office accommodation would be not conducive in most critical areas like Dujua. For instance, Dujua is having an office in a magistrate's offices. Middle Drift has a long-standing problem of bees and snakes in that office, and as a result, we have to operate outside in the mobile truck. Matatiele is also operating in a magistrate office. Stadspruit, Mount Fletcher, Maclear, Mount Frere, Bizana, East London, Lady Frere, Cleary Park, Tofimvaba, Middleburg. And there are others. These are the critical ones, Honorable Chair, that we have mentioned. We pleaded with National Department of Public Works for business unusual in order to fast track, you know, the request in terms of procuring accommodation for the offices we've mentioned. Joe Kabi District Forum wrote a letter to procurement section to address the problem. Approval of funds for procurement of accommodation for Bizana and Matatiele has already been submitted to Public Works. Home Affairs Nkongkobe Stakeholder Forum has intervened in securing office space for Middle Drift. Public Works has been requested to do the nominated strategy since accommodation in the area is scarce. Shortage of immigration officers at ports of entry. There's the inability of existing immigration officers to speedily clear the travelers. Officers are forced to work longer hours and inadvertently the overtime, which has to be paid. And there's what is to be done, continued with the deployment of officials, although it is costly as a result of the overtime that is incurred. Retrieval of documents at archives from head office to province. Currently, there's no nodal point for submission of requests. The matter, we believe, we will escalate it to the branch meeting that we are attending in Kimberley for the next 2 days, starting tomorrow. Risk on deposit book on submission for banking with G4S, because there's no return of deposit book timeously. Of course, we indicated that this has been raised with the management of the company. The requisition we're talking about were addressed to management. Of course, the finance management must make copies. That is what we think must change around the problem. Copies of deposit book before submission to G4S and the bank. Once again, our apologies, Honorable Chair, for taking that long, like Northern Cape.
Thank you, Benile. Thanks for your report. Honorable members, it's your time for questions and comments. Honorable Marcella, Honorable McIntosh, Honorable Matebe, Honorable Hasibone.
Chairperson, the area of late registration, the area of late registration of birth will always be close to my heart. As we all know, the history behind the lack of documentation of the majority of our people in this country. My question really is, to what extent, Mr. Mapulu, are you going to drive this one and make sure that the Eastern Cape is cleared from this sketch? That's the first question. The other question is the vetting of officials. Five officials are reported here to be top secret, and they have been denied clearance. Now, I would like to know what is the main reason for these people to be denied, and what has been the action steps, if there's any element of criminality in their part. And I think this is very important because it then puts it very clear to us whether or not we should be worried about the department in the Eastern Cape or not. Maybe one of the persons is at the senior level or is one of the senior officials or not. Now, the other area, Chair, is the issues of labor relation cases, where you see here there's 10 of these cases that are very serious in nature, 5 of which is abuse, misuse of government vehicles, and the soliciting of bribes. You know, it does tell you that there is an element of undermining the mandate of the department. Now, if that happens, then there needs to be really a way of ensuring this, that these kind of things do not occur again. How do you then apply the mitigating strategy so that you avert those so that we are able to avert the kind of behavior in future, and obviously in doing so you implement the deterrent strategy as well. If umuntu ufunyenwe emoshile, how do you deal with them? Before they even go to these kind of actions, so that you are able to teach others that if you mess up, we are going to deal with you. The last one, Chair, is that it is known. Is it known what are the reasons for the almost 10,000 identity documents that remain uncollected after 3 months? And at which stage are the uncollected documents being destroyed, which is, if that is the way to go to destroy them, how many of these IDs have you destroyed in the past year or so? Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable McIntosh.
Madam Chair, one of my happy memories from my memoirs in part will be to hear we cannot occupy the offices in Middle Drift because of snakes and bees. You will remember, of course, there was an MEC in KwaZulu-Natal, an IFP lady, who was quite a controversial lady, and they said to her when she moved into a new office, she said, I can't live here with all these snakes that used to be here. But she wasn't talking about snakes that walked on the ground, but snakes with two legs. But no, thank you, Mr. Mbalula. One gets the feeling from your presence. Mr. Mabula.
Mabulu.
I'm thinking of Bulula, which is a puff adder. So that's what I was thinking of. But Mr. Mabula, one gets the feeling that you've climbed on a very difficult horse here in the Eastern Cape, and it's not an easy horse, and it's going to need a lot of training to be able to do tebelela. But it sounds as though you're doing your best in all these stakeholder forums. I do have one question. Obviously, one can ask many questions, but when the Northern Cape made their presentation, they also had about 4,000 passport applications, but they had about the same number of 4,000 temporary passports. Now, I see you have no temporary passports. What interests me is you have borders with Lesotho. That's the only border, and linked to that, and maybe it's not your responsibility, but I gather from Swaziland and Lesotho we have a problem with Amaswati and Basotho coming and getting grants and benefits from the South African economy. Do you have a problem with that in, well, I suppose it would be Alfred and Zor, and would it be what, Joe Pardon? To get, not corrupt the word. So maybe you could have, if I was Siswati speaking, I wouldn't be able to say Kabi. I could say Katadu. Okay, thanks. Sorry, Madam Chair, to take your, but just those two questions, temporary passports and also problems with non-citizens claiming benefits or having dual citizenship.
Honorable Matebe. Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just follow-up, Tabaret. You said Eastern Cape is a rural area, mountainous. As a result, people cannot access their offices. But have you ever engaged public works? Because my understanding is every year there's a money which is allocated to fix rural development roads. And the second question is question of issue of mobile offices. You said you've got a huge number of the areas that you cannot be found. But what is it? You are supposed to want to increase the number of mobile area, mobile offices, or what does he want to do with that? And also my concern is vacant post. It seems as if you've got a lot of vacant posts in our province. So what is the major step we're going to take? Thanks.
That's one. Mine is with regard to the people that are signing for non-citizens. What legal steps have you taken against those? And the other one is about the need to, is there a dire or a serious need perhaps to revive the 8 stakeholder forums? And have you perhaps investigated as to why they lapsed in the first place? Thank you.
Dr. Mokulu, you will respond to the questions, but before, can you maybe explain, I heard you saying I mean, referring to a maternity certificate. If you could explain what is this maternity certificate. And your province is the second one that has mentioned the provincial coordinator, something like that. What is the role of this provincial coordinator? And I'm worried because other provinces never mention this provincial coordinator, which means there's no consistency in your staff structure. My other question relates to resourcing of provincial forum. How are we going to deal with the resourcing of this provincial forum? Do we have a budget for that? You may respond to those questions.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I have my team here. My colleagues who have been there before me. I will take those that I'll be able to respond to. Starting with the resourcing of the stakeholder forum and the lack of uniformity across the provinces. This provincial stakeholder forum is about the problems that we have come across with the current mainstream stakeholder forums, which are made up of the local forums, the district. Now, there are issues that may relate to the competency of the province. Issues like the ones of security in terms of the immigration services that we are providing. And for this reason, we would find that at the level of the district, we might not, you know, get the required attention and consideration on the issues. And therefore, in terms of the vision of the minister, it became a requirement that we should also have the provincial stakeholder forum that will oversee all the issues, the challenges that may be there in running the community partnerships with our department. To resource it, we would do it in terms of the current arrangement. The DMOs, that is the district manager operations, with their own respective budgets, they resource these local forums that are there. Normally, it would be what is required would be food, catering, you know, for all those meetings, because other people, they come from far-flung areas, as we had indicated that this is a vast area we're dealing with. You would also have the issue where we would require to go and fetch, you know, some of the stakeholders from where they are found. So similarly, we will do the same thing. The province, with its own budget, will definitely, you know, have to resource some of the meetings that would be had and the traveling that may be there. With the maternity certificate, Honorable Chair, it's an arrangement. For a long time, it has become a problem. You had had such a grievous situation where people from the foreign nationals would complain that they've been manhandled, one has been compromised by being made to undress so that we should be in a position to see the mark of inoculation, which may be different with others. So this road to health card also contributed in that the nurses would sell, you know, this card to anyone who would approach it. And it's so vulnerable. With this maternity certificate, it has got some very strong safety features. One that I can remember, the it's not the practitioner, it's called the house, what's the word for nurses there, there's that particular word, I can't remember. But the nurse who signs it will have to also reflect the professional the professional, that number. There's a particular, you know, with, I have not worked there, but each professional in health services, you would have a particular health number with which you are identified. So you need to write that number as well there. And there are other features as well that must actually indicate these other details of the person who has written, you know, on the maternity certificate. So, and lately, it has been touted around the offices at provincial level, where it has actually acquired a status of being adopted by the province. But of course, through strengthening this partnership, we will make sure that even our offices also recognize it as well. Because it's no point that the health institutions recognize it, and yet our offices will process an application which bears the old road to health card. The signing of illegal citizens, all those critical stakeholders, Honorable Chair, that we have mentioned, there used to be five before as we were doing our work, partnering with communities. Now the funeral parlors have added as well to be six. All the stakeholder forums in the province, they are required to have one-on-one, that is, the stakeholder forum, have meetings with all these critical stakeholders, in particular the traditional leaders. All these people come and settle within these tribal authorities, the foreign nationals. We require the traditional leaders to inform us, although it is not strong. But as we go on, we want through the traditional, now that the office of the Eastern Cape traditional leaders has partnered with us, we should be in a position now to get lists of the people who are found in those tribal authorities, new people, new faces, which are not known. We should be in a position to know the death that has occurred in that particular tribal authority. We should be able to know the birth that has occurred there. So we will work around the clock to finalize, you know, this kind of a partnership, where now we will depend on the information that is acquired, you know, from the respective tribal authorities. So through that, it will be difficult because, for instance, if we come to the issues of confirming anyone and their death registrations, each tribal authority, they are recognized. There are samples of signatures for each and every tribal authority, so that it is known that the traditional leader who may have signed or provided the information that has reached the Office of Home Affairs. So we have a potential that we will have in the long run a control of what is happening from these communities. The border with Lesotho and Swaziland and people enjoying the social grants, indeed, Honorable McIntosh, we do have such situations. Everyone in all these forums that we attend, they complain that the social welfare grant is being siphoned by foreign nationals. Recently, we went to Kashasneg. I remember I went there to introduce the current minister's parliamentary liaison officer. When one policeman recognizes, he raised the issue, the grievous issue of the traffic of Lesotho nationals around the time of the grant payouts. They will be passed through. They will be trafficking in buses through to all those towns, Matatiele, Mount Fletcher, and others, you know, around the area. Through that partnership with SASA, This is exactly what we want to target. Already, they are conducting some verification processes where they've done that with Kunu, they've been to Bizana, they've been to Libode. Now, what has brought them to come to us to collaborate with us is the fact that as they do the verification, they encounter these fraudulent birth certificates and ID documents, and they are unable to identify a genuine and not a genuine one. So they always come forward to seek our assistance. Now, we have said, let us formalize now this kind of partnership so that when you go out on verification, you must make sure that you include the stakeholder forum. You don't simply go there as the ordinary staff of SASA. It must be a work of the stakeholder forum. You must be collaborating with the stakeholder forum. So within a short time, I think next time we'll be reporting, you know, how well that partnership is working in terms of making sure that all those applications of foreign nationals are cancelled. So far, Chair, I'll hand over to my colleagues.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, members. The first one that I will respond to is the issue of the LRB. What is it that we're doing to eradicate that? We've had massive outreach programs wherein we've engaged with stakeholders and the communities in terms of inviting them, whoever doesn't have an enabling document, to come through. We are also raising awareness on this issue through the forums that we're having, but also because we're doing community profiling in wherein we go towards. We do engage so that we can be able to get the people that don't have their birth certificates. We're also using the community radios in order to invite people to come through so that they can have their birth registered. The issue around the vetting official, the five officials that have been denied clearance, this is something that we received from back from State Security Agency at the end of June. And as a precautionary measure, the officials have been removed from the areas wherein they are operating so that they can be taken to less risky area whilst the appeal process is underway. They have appealed the process to say that because it's issues related to their financial status, so that process is being handled by the vetting officer together with state security agents. The labor relations cases, how are we dealing with these cases? We've had sanctions of dismissal, we've had suspension without pay. We've also made sure that everyone is trained in terms of the transport policy so that people are aware of what it is that they need to be doing. But also there's naming and shaming so that people can actually begin to see what is happening in other areas and how people are being dealt with so that they can know that this cannot be tolerated. The 10,000 identity documents that are older than 3 months. Also, these lists of uncollected and unclaimed ID documents are circulated to our partners so that they can begin to identify the people that are in their areas. We found that there are a number of reasons where people have moved to other areas and they've applied in other areas for the identity document. But also, when people have found the old identity document, what we've realized is that people are not aware that your most recent one is the one that you need to be having with you. So they think that they can go back to the other ones. And in some instances, the documents have been found with the people that the machonisas, so they would get their IDs back. But also, through the stakeholder engagement, we are making sure that we make people aware. But after 6 months, the IDs are taken to head office, so that if a person comes in after 6 months, then we can request that ID to be retrieved, and then it can come back to the office without making in a new application. So all these steps are reflected on the system in terms of token trace, so that you can be able to see where the identity document is. In terms of the temporary passports, I must indicate that in our format, we do have temporary passports also in the Eastern Cape, as well as emergency travel certificates. It's just that in the format that we utilize, we didn't reflect on those numbers. The also to add on the maternity certificate, how safe is it? What is the difference? It's got the SANCA number as well as the stamp of the nursing official, because the road to health card, it was difficult for us to trace exactly who is the nurse who has done this registration, who has given this foreigner this road to health card. So now in that collaboration, we're able to track, and so that we can be able to deal with those nurses that are 18 and up at you.
Good afternoon, all members. In terms of the vacancies, yes, indeed, we do have quite a high vacancy rate, but all our posts have been advertised. We have prioritized the senior management, the two DMO posts. Those are at an advanced stage. The rest of them has been advertised, as I said, and within the next 3 months, we should be appointing all our, you know, vacancies, because we are embarking on an intensive recruitment drive over the next 3 months. In terms of the provincial coordinator, all the provinces actually does have a provincial coordinator. The role of that person is basically to the monitoring and evaluation. That is what that person is responsible for in each province. Thank you.
Excuse me, sir. Can I get Honourable Tebe to raise the question again on mobile offices?
You mentioned that there's some areas where we are not found. We don't have offices in that area. So what I was asking is that, have you been to the area where you want more mobile offices to reach that area? And also, I'm not answered on the issue of engaging public works in terms of roads and so on.
In the areas where our mobile units cannot get to, what we do is we use them and we use 4x4s in those areas so that we can be able to overcome the road infrastructure. In terms of the Department of Roads and Transport, we do engage with the Department of Roads of Public Works in the province on those particular areas. And in some instances, there has been some improvement in the area.
Chair, we hope we have responded, not unless.
The sourcing of provincial forums. I'm not sure if that was answered when I was out.
Oh, yes, I covered it, Honourable Chair. I can repeat it again. Yes. We are saying, Honourable Chair, similarly, in the arrangement of the local municipalities, stakeholder forums, and the districts, we will be doing the same thing. What is normally happening is that when we have these meetings, these contact meetings with our stakeholders, we normally have to provide catering. And sometimes the far-flung stakeholders like the ward committees, CDWs, may fetch them, provide transport to get them to the meeting. So at that level, we would do the same thing where through the budget of the provincial office provide, and if there's anyone who requires to be fetched or wherever we are going, then we can always organize transport as well.
Mefa Siboni's question on legal steps on informants. What legal steps are taken on informants?
On informants. Yeah. I think Ms. Lusso would be better placed.
Thanks, Chair. The immigration officer would open a criminal case in cases where there is aiding and abetting. And in instances wherein, there are instances wherein we've gone to court and we've received a favorable consideration of our case, and fines have been imposed, as well as sentences with suspension.
Thank you, Ntate Tumile, and your team for responding to the questions. and job presentation as well. I am not seeing any hands. I'm sure we are all okay with the answers given, except for Honorable Masela. That's the province, I'm sure.
It's you know, I've got the dual citizenship. Cape Town and Western Cape and Eastern Cape. The question is around the mobile trucks. Out of 17, 16 are said to be dysfunctional. Is that true? What is the issue there? Are you having the same problem with the others, satellites? So are they standing still? What is the situation there?
Chair, we had corrected that figure. Instead of one, that one was 7, and then dysfunctional one being 10. As we are presenting, we had changed the figure. My apologies for having been not... is 10, yes. 7, yes. True.
Thank you for the question. As with the other provinces, the problems we're experiencing is with FinTech, with the satellites, the reception is the problem. So obviously the service provider will be, you know, engaged once again to improve the service delivery. We would appreciate if you can assist with that.
But I think also we're looking at the issue of a 3G, which is much more handier. So instead of using the satellite, so we're also exploring those options.
Okay. No, thank you, Eastern Cape and all other provinces that made their presentation today. Thank you very much. We hope you go home safely. Honorable members, on that note, the meeting is adjourned. Tomorrow we are meeting again here at